baby. El ritmo se adueña de tu piel. A ti te gusta y a mí también. Que nos pasemos la noche dándole.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Form Radio. Glad you're able to join the show on this Thursday morning, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your day on this Thursday morning, February 20th, 2020. As here we are, 4 days before the trade deadline. And also, by the way, now that we're shifting from hockey to baseball, we are now 2 days away. Actually, I stand corrected. Excuse me. 1 day away from the Red Sox first spring training game. They play Northeastern University tomorrow in their annual scrimmage. 1 o'clock Eastern. That game is televised on NESN. So I know baseball is back. I'm actually excited. As a pure baseball fan, I am absolutely excited for the new season. There's going to be a lot of fireworks. And speaking of the fireworks, we'll get to that a little later in the 11 o'clock hour. But I got to tell you something. There was a lot of really damaged feelings and emotions in New England right now, especially since we were last on the air on Tuesday morning. The Red Sox officially did not bring back, Mookie Betts. Well, they traded him away, but Brock Holt is what I was thinking, as he has left to go sign with the Milwaukee Brewers. 1 year deal, 2020, with an option for 2021 as well. And a lot of Red Sox fans are pretty angry. Not angry with Brock Holt, no. Angry because of the fact that this is just another move that the Boston Red Sox have made this offseason that has been very unpopular with the fans. We all know, in terms of what the Red Sox and how the Red Sox fans feel, the Red Sox Nation feel about the trade of Mookie Betts to the Los Angeles Dodgers. We know that. We get that. However, with Brock Holt, for some reason, it just seems as if that this hurts just as much, if not even more. Now, there was an article, it was a column written in the Boston Globe that talked about sentimentality, and it was written by Chad Finn, who was, written yesterday afternoon. It's on BostonGlobe.com. And he mentioned something that really does stick out to me. And I want to harp on this first point here. Chad Finn, he writes, unquote, "It's hard to say goodbye to that. But ownership, John Henry, who also owns the Globe, has struggled to explain their decisions, in particular why Betts was traded. What they really need is to have Bloom, a likable, upbeat personality, explain in a deep detail, but in layman's terms, why they felt it was best to trade Betts and let Holt walk, and further communicate what the long-term plan is in terms of rebuilding the farm system and strengthening the margins of the roster." Bloom knew what he was getting into when he took this job, and he's an extremely smart guy. I think he's going to be good at this. Even if there's a swirl of a roster turnover that will take some getting used to, but he needs to be the face and voice of this unwelcome change right now. The Red Sox have made moves this offseason that have turned off the fan base, and we don't know the new guys yet. All we know is that popular winning players are gone, and that the new season feels like a bummer before it has begun, unquote. I think that piece right there was really telling. It was telling in a sense of, wow, you expect sentimentality in terms of a business. I want to start off by addressing this first point here. In terms of expecting the front office to have some kind of sentimentalism towards fan favorites and so forth. One of the harsh truths about baseball and about doing business in baseball, feelings don't necessarily get the deals done. Not always, anyway. And then the harsh truth is that the Red Sox showed no feelings at all towards keeping, or at least attempting to keep, Brock Holt. And one thing that I find that's fascinating in all of this is that when you are a guy who was respected or as loved as Brock Holt was, and we know his contributions to the community in and around New England, especially on Greater Boston, especially the Jimmy Fund and so forth, I just think that the Red Sox have not had the best of off seasons in terms of their ability to be able to say, hey, you know what? Hey, we should actually do a better job of being transparent and explaining why we did what we did. Because the fact of the matter is this. As mentioned in that excerpt that I read from the column that was written by Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, I think more than anything else, the part that really keeps coming back to me, and the more I think about it, is when Finn wrote, quote, but ownership, referencing John Henry, who owns the Globe, has struggled to explain their decisions, in particular as to why Betts was traded. What they really need to do is have Bloom, a likable, upbeat personality, explain in deep detail, but in layman's terms, why they felt it was best to trade Betts and let Holt walk. That's the issue that I have. The issue that I have is not the explaining part, but is what they do when they, for whatever reason, when they say, hey, you know, let's have a press conference. Let's have a press conference. Let's get everybody, you know, sit in the seats and talk. They can't even give you a straight answer. They can't even give you a straight answer without any type of, oh, perhaps, maybe, maybe we should be a bit more transparent. And that's something that John Henry is absolutely freaking failed at miserably. Miserably. And what makes this worse is this. And I know a lot of Red Sox fans and Red Sox Nation, they're really upset about the fact that Brock Hulk has walked and so forth, and they let him go. But what I will say is this, and there's nothing I can say that's going to make or help Red Sox fans feel any better about this offseason. Even with the spring training games officially beginning on Saturday, in 2 days, that this is the kind of situation that further exposes a relationship for what it is, or further fractures the relationship between the ownership group and the fan base for what it's worth. I don't know what else that needs to be said for the Red Sox ownership group to come out and say that they absolutely need to really be upfront and honest with the fan base, because you want the fan base to come out and support you at Fenway Park, especially in April when it's still cold here in New England, right? Right. Yet you've made moves that have been very unpopular with the fan base. Right. Why should they invest into coming to Fenway? And the fact that you acknowledge that the ticket sales have dropped. That's the truth. The ticket sales have absolutely dropped. And now, here you are. You let a fan favorite go in Brock Holt. And you can't even have any type of sentimentalism towards the player and what he's brought to the community. It's a cold, cold world and a cold way to do business. I really do wonder what Red Sox fans are thinking. I don't know if you could replace Brock Holt in terms of what he brought to the clubhouse, to the dugout, and obviously his on-field contributions. And who could ever forget his performance in Game 3 of the 2018 American League Division Series against the Yankees in New York, becoming the first player to hit for the cycle in Major League Baseball postseason history. Who can ever forget that? I don't think Red Sox Nation will ever forget that. So, my message to ownership, figure this out and figure this out fast, because you've made some real unpopular decisions in the last 5 years. And it's getting to a point, and I'm serious when I say this, it's getting to a point now where you are going to drive your own fan base away from even wanting to come out to Fenway Park. I mean, I could go through the whole list of decisions that has not been popular with the team or with the fan base. Should I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that 5 years ago, this is the same ownership group that did not want to bring back Don Orsillo? Yeah, I'd rather not. I'd rather not. All right, then. And then, of course, the signings of Pablo Sandoval and Hanley Ramirez. Yeah. I remember all of those things. Coming up next, we got 2 segments left. And I want to talk about why Commissioner Manfred is absolutely failing miserably in handling this scandal for the Houston Astros. That and much more, plus your phone calls. Feel free to call in 855-915 WMFO 855-915-9636. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio.
Whoa, whoa. Oh, oh. Whoa, whoa. Yeah. Esta es verdad, era horrible. Hey. Fácil.
Paso muchas noches pensándote. Yo no sé ni cómo ni cuándo fue. Pero solo sé que yo recordé cómo te lo hacía y aquella vez. Si yo no puedo seguir solo, pero sé que te boté. De mi vida te boté.
Si te lo metes pa' recordar un TBT. Yeah, ya yo me cansé de tus mentiras. Ahora hay una más dura que me tira. Todo tiene su final, todo expira. Tú eres pasado y el pasado nunca vira. Arranca pa'l carajo, mi cuerpo no te necesita. Lo que pide es un perreo sucio en la placita. No creo que lo nuestro se repita. Dale, prende un feel y deja uno ready pa' ahorita. Yeah. Oh, Dios, saber que en ti una vez más yo confié.
Desde que te di esa bota, las gatas son de 3 en 3. Si tú quieres preguntar si no me crees, ella no tengo estrés. Pa' completar la fila son estrés. Viste como el mundo se te fue al revés. Yo con ella en RD, que me enamoré el día que la probé. Ya yo no creo que volviste de, mami, porque el servicio te lo cancelé. Si no respondo, el problema va a tocar el fondo. Mami, respira hondo mientras te lo escondo. Contigo obligo, yo me pongo el condón. Pero posteo a media cancha, baby, como Rondón. Yo a ti te di una sepultura dura. Yo sé que con el tiempo la herida se cura. Es que en verdad que tú no estás a altura. Te lo juro por Dios, que por Dios no se jura. Mami, yo te boté.
Me siento bien. Ya no sufro por amores. Ahora rompo corazón y sobran las pacas de 100. Tú me rompiste el corazón. Sin sentido y sin razón. Pero tengo un culo nuevo que me da mucho cariño y me chinga bien cabrón.
No te lo voy a negar que te sufrí, la pasé mal. Pero te superé. Cierro los ojos y pienso.
eso, todo lo que hicimos, baby.
Yo te di confianza y me fallaste. Te burlaste de mí y me humillaste. Lejos de aquí te fuiste y ni explicaste. Viste mi película y viraste. Ahora quieres saber lo que pienso de ti. Me siento cabrón porque no estás aquí. Así como viniste, tú te puedes ir. No te voy a negar que te sufrí, la pasé mal, pero me superé y de mi vida te boté. Nicky Jam,
Camper,
Darel,
Nio García,
yeah.
Ozuna,
Ozuna,
el negrito claro.
This is the remix.
Flow La Move, John Martino,
hear this music.
DJ Nelson,
era dime Cronin Michael.
Esta es la verdadera
vuelta, la maya.
Flow La Move,
el indica Chori Complete.
Pa' que sepa,
verdadero hijo de puta de las voces.
Eso es así.
Ratatata.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Here with you until 12 o'clock. We're here for another 36 minutes. The phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And I got to tell you, it's been some kind of month and a half to start 2020. I can't remember a year in which that it's been so eventful the first year and a half in the world of sports the way that it has. You know, starting with the findings of the investigation in regards to the Houston Astros and so forth. The death of Kobe Bryant unexpectedly on January 26th. And then this month, the Astros cheating scandal and the way that it's been handled by the owner of the Houston Astros, Jim Crane, who said that cheating, quote unquote, did not impact games. And now our attention has turned to Robert Manfred, who has been absolutely putrid in handling this situation. And right now, I can't remember a year where right now sports has been absolutely just ooh-wee. I'm beginning to run out of words. You think that it couldn't get any more worse, and you and I were wrong. The more that's come out, the worse it's gotten. And here's the thing that makes me angry as a baseball fan. The fact that you came out, you, Commissioner Manfred, I'm going to address you first. The fact that you came out and you said that you pledged to punish pitchers who employed frontier justice on Houston batters. Now, this is a quote that this is a quote that was used by Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe. I gotta tell you, you didn't help yourself. So the immediate thought amongst baseball fans and even players, the thought was, oh wow. So let me get this straight. So you're taking away the inside part of the plate, and for those who hit Astro hitters, basically are getting punished more than the players who cheated themselves. Okay. I see how this is going, Commissioner Manfred. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. You're not doing yourself any favors, Commissioner Manfred, at all. And then you turn around and you call the World Series trophy just a piece of metal? Oh, boy. You want to talk about a way to create a rift between yourself and the game? And, you know, Trevor Bauer was absolutely right when he said this. I'm serious. Trevor Bauer was absolutely right when he said that, quote, you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You're a joke. You know what? I agree with Trevor Bauer for once. I actually do. Commissioner Manfred, your handling of the situation has exposed that you have absolutely no clue about the sport that you so govern over. And on top of that, you have no idea as to how you even handle situations like this. That's the part that's disgusting. And I'm telling you, I am ashamed. I am ashamed as a baseball fan and now as a radio talk show host, broadcaster, that I can't even begin to even unload on the commissioner the way that I want to. As a matter of fact, I'm going to unload on him right now. Commissioner Manfred, you're weak. This is what the players think of you. You're weak. You lack leadership. Tony Maserati of 98.5 The Sports Hub said it best. Baseball has a leadership problem. It sure as hell does. Commissioner Manfred, you were supposed to be looked at as a leader, but instead, you're being looked at as an absolute wuss. You're a wuss. You're soft. And frankly, the respect is gone. You have the game's biggest stars coming out and absolutely unloading. You have Mike Trout, the best player in the sport, the face of Major League Baseball at that, coming out and saying, quote, I don't agree with the punishments. The player's not getting anything. What does that tell you? What does that honestly tell you? In terms of your biggest stars in the game, your so-called representatives. No, not your so-called. Your representatives of your sport. Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, unloading on the commissioner for his mishandling of the Astros cheating scandal? What does that tell you? The players are actually angry. Like, it's amazing to me how so far that the commissioner has handled this so poorly. I am amazed that, as far as I'm concerned, that your stars are beginning to turn on you and publicly have absolutely unloaded on the commissioner. Here's Mike Trout on his thoughts on the Houston Astros controversy. This is courtesy of Fox Sports West, the regional sports network of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
It's sad for baseball. You know, it's tough. You know, they cheated. And, you know, just I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not, you know, getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven, you know, thing. You know, it sucks, too, because, you know, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. You know, it would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It'd be pretty fun up there. So, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys. And, you know, it seems like every day something new comes out. So
themselves.
Just trying to explain what happened. You know, you read a lot of stuff in the paper. And, you know, once you read something, a lot of people jump to that conclusion. But sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's false. It's, you know, it's like I said, it was a tough offseason to see that, you know, as a baseball player. And, you know, you just hope Major League Baseball cleans it up and we play, you know, good baseball from here on out. If you know what's coming, it's going to definitely help you. I think that's, you know, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see for sure. I didn't notice the bang. I noticed the banging off the bat in center field. It just seemed like they weren't missing pitches, and it was just it's frustrating because you got guys in here battling, coming to the ballpark every day, working on stuff, and they make a nasty pitch down and away. I mean, I can't tell you when this happened, but I'm sure it did. You know, I can't imagine what the pitchers feel like, you know, knowing going in there and, you know, you never know what it, you know, it's a mental game. You go on a stretch where you're doing good, and you go, if you went into Houston and got banged up, it could mentally drain you. You know, it's just sad to see, you know, just to cheat like that. It's tough. You know, like I said, If I was up at the plate,
and
I knew I would, it would be fun for sure. But it's cheating, so it's tough to see to do that. And then obviously the GM got fired and Hinch got fired, but just the players not getting nothing. I mean, that's definitely not right. I thought for sure. Yeah, but they obviously they had something to know that they were cheating. So I mean, I don't know. It's just a tough subject to talk about. You know, like I said, you know, they cheated the game. You know, they just cheated players, cheated. I mean, it's just tough to see. Hopefully they, I don't know. You know, it's like I said, it's an ongoing thing. Every day I come out, I see something in the papers. It's something new every day. So,
I mean, I think that going forward,
I think everybody wants to be a level, clean playing field. You know, I didn't know it wasn't until this stuff came out. And then you realize, you know, hey, when we played them at home or whatever it was, they were hitting a lot of ball. I mean, they got great players over there for sure. So it's just something was a little different.
That was Mike Trout. And again, that clip was courtesy of Fox Sports West, the TV home of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And for the best player in the sport to come out and say that, what does that tell you? In all seriousness, what does that honestly tell you? And to me, my biggest issue to Commissioner Manfred is that you give the players immunity, yet no consequence. Not only does that honestly set a weak precedent? Man, oh man. It sets a bad example to future commissioners to come after Commissioner Manfred. It's just bad. And listen, here's some more reactions of some of the players some of the stars in the game who are absolutely irate right now with not only the Houston Astros, but the way that it's been handled.
What a disgrace that was. Just watching their apology yesterday, too, just... There's no sincerity. There's no genuineness when it comes to it.
What are your thoughts on what the Astros did yesterday?
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. These guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
When you know the signs that you know what's coming, especially at this level of baseball, you know, we have some of the most talented baseball players in the world. You know, and as hitters, if they have an edge, an advantage, knowing what's coming, it's just going to make them stronger.
I think we were prepared going in there, and we heard things. We didn't know exactly what happened, but I don't know. It's a little frustrating when you look at it and you see kind of who they hurt and people that they hurt with the decisions that they did make. So it seems like it's not done yet. So we'll see what happens, what else comes out.
What happened, man. Like, the situation sucks. Punishments were given. Players got immunity. They got away with it, and it is what it is, man.
When you see some of your former teammates today deny the use of any buzzer in 2019, do you accept that completely and believe that there was none of that going on?
Sure. I wouldn't have seen it or been privy to that information anyway, but I believe my ex-teammates. I believe those guys, so.
What's your take on all these apologies coming out of the Astros camp?
Yeah, you know, I saw it yesterday, and I knew I was going to get asked, and I was thinking about it a lot, and to be honest, I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. Some of those guys seemed remorseful. Some of those guys said the right things, gave a good apology, and that's great. I'll move on with that. And then you get the owner up there saying some dumb stuff, and it's like, what? You know, it's like, what's going on? You know, it's just, how can you be that ignorant to the situation? So, I don't really know what to make of it all anymore. So I think, honestly, I just don't even know what to say about it. So,
how about your opinion on what effect it had on you guys?
It probably had an effect. I mean, without knowing for sure what's going on, you really have no idea. So,
that was Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs, Cody Bellinger of the Los Angeles Dodgers. That was Aroldis Chapman, and that was his translator translating what he said in regards to the question, I mean, access to the Houston Astros cheating and so forth. Patrick Corbin of the now of the World Series champion Washington Nationals responding. Enrique Hernandez of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Gerrit Cole of the Yankees. And that last piece that you heard, that was Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the reactions have been pretty strong for in large part. And my anger and my frustration is, why has Manfred not done anything remotely more at this point? Because all I can keep thinking is, the more that comes out, the more information that we learn, the worse it looks. The worse it looks. And I'm at a point now that Major League Baseball, they're going to have a major problem come this season, this regular season. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the truth now. Threatening to suspend and fine players for retaliating and so forth. You think that these players really care? You think they give a damn? They don't care. Money-wise, they've got it. They ain't worried about money. It's about justice at this point. And the fact that the justice, or so-called justice, has been handed down by Commissioner Manfred has been absolutely been weak. Absolutely been weak. And I really cannot believe that it's gotten to a point in which that you have top athletes from other sports chiming in. And I'm talking about LeBron James himself. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? LeBron James, he tweeted this out just the other day. Actually, just a couple days ago, as a matter of fact. You tweeted us out yesterday at what time? No, it was 2 days ago. I was right. He said, quote, listen, this is what LeBron James tweeted out on Twitter. He said, quote, listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be expletive irate. Use the F-bomb. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would / could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your ... Now, second tweet. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball, baseball emoji, is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? For LeBron James to chime in, this, you know, this is no longer just a baseball issue. This is a sports issue. And I really want to see, what does Commissioner Manfred do to address this? That, I'm honestly really, I'm really curious to see how he handles this moving forward, because this is not going away. Because I have a feeling in which that he's just thinking, oh, this is all going to die out at some point. Mm-mm. Not this one. Rise up. Coming up next, final thoughts on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio.
No ando pensando, quisiera saber lo que estás haciendo. Te llamo pero me sale ocupado. Oh.
Tú me robaste el corazón como un criminal. Bebé, yo no puedo negar. Esto que siento por ti no puede ser legal. Criminal, criminal. Tu estilo, tu flow, baby, muy criminal.
Saber lo que estás haciendo. Te llamo pero me salió.
se rompe la ley. Tú eres un delito que yo quiero cometer. Si por eso dieran tiempo perpetua, debieras ver. Para mí un problema que no quiero resolver, no. Tú me encantas, yo no te quiero mentir. Tú eres para mí, no te quiero compartir. Sin mala maña, la cosa se nos daña. Tú no te has ido y ya mi cuerpo a ti te extraña.
Tú me miras como que te pongo mal. De lejos yo puedo observar lo que tú me te puedes pensar. Tú me dices que yo me dejo llevar. Será porque tienes un flow demasiado de criminal, baby.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Form Radio. Just want to go over a couple of quick notes and so forth. First one being that you could follow me on social media when I'm off the airwaves on Twitter. You can follow me at Shukri Wright, at Shukri Wrights, all one Twitter handle. You can follow me there, and as well as you can follow me on Instagram for show announcements. I usually tweet them out and so forth. At Shukri Wrights radio, RADIO underscore. That's at Shukri Wrights underscore. That's my Twitter and Instagram handles. You can follow me there for information and as well as my posts and tweets regards to when I'm on the air and so forth. I do know after today, the next time I'll be on the air is Saturday for my regular slot, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And as well, streaming you can stream the show live in the station live wherever you are on the TuneIn radio app as well. So that will be the next time this show will be on the air on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I don't recall doing PSA this hour. So just in case if I may have forgotten, and I'm going to play a PSA, and this PSA is brought to you by yours truly at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Here we go.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Form Radio. Coming up next after this show, we have Strike the Box. Coming up shortly with Chris M. He'll be here with you until 2 o'clock today, so stick around for that. Final thoughts brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Writes, to wrap up the show. One thing I want to touch on real quick, now that the Celtics are back from the NBA All-Star break, this is now the home stretch for the Boston Celtics as well. And I just want to quickly point out that it's amazing that this team is in the position that they're in now, considering that they really haven't had like a full healthy squad where everybody's fully healthy at the same time for large chunks of the season. And I got to tell you, I really like that being, it's a good thing in a sense of their ability to play well and to play together. And as well as for a team that is missing key pieces right now, especially like Robin Williams, for example, who has missed time coming up. This is the start of an important stretch for the Boston Celtics. They have a 4-game Western Conference road trip coming up, starting tomorrow night. They're in Minnesota on tomorrow night, Friday night, 8 o'clock tip off in Minnesota. That's on NBC Sports Boston. Sunday is the big one. They're in Los Angeles to take on the Lakers. That's a national televised game. That's on ABC only. Only on ABC, 3:30 start. And then next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, back-to-back late-night games. Next week, Tuesday the 25th, they're in Portland to take on the Trailblazers. And then the next night, they're in Utah to take on the Utah Jazz. So this is an important road trip they have coming up before they return home next Saturday night here in Boston. They're home to take on the Houston Rockets. That game is that is an 8:30 game. That's exclusively on ABC as well. So they have a couple of games nationally televised that's coming up. The Lakers on Sunday coming up, that's on ABC. And as well as next Saturday night against the Houston Rockets, also 8:30 tip-off, that's on ABC as well. So the Celtics, if they are going to continue to get better and as well as improve on where they are in the East as it currently stands, this is the time to do it, because we know what this team is capable of, especially the role players. Knowing that this is not a complete team just as of yet, they could use a bit more depth on the bench. But in large part, you know what you have in Grant Williams and Robert Williams. You know what you have in Jason Tatum, as well as Jaylen Brown. And you know what you've gotten so far out of Kemba Walker, who has been nothing short of a terrific addition to this team, as well as Gordon Hayward. And I got to tell you, the one thing that I am absolutely looking forward to the most in terms of the Celtics in the second half is how much better they can be in terms of being more efficient offensively as well as defensively, continue to get better. They're going to have a stiff test on Sunday against the Lakers. That's something to keep in mind as well. So also, they're playing the Timberwolves on Friday night. So they got a bit of a test coming up in these next four games, these next four-game road trip that they're going to be embarking on. In fact, if anything, they're actually going to be leaving today. To head out for the next four games against Western Conference opponents. So you want to talk about immediate tests as to where this team is currently in terms of their growth and development, while at the same time recognizing that, hey, considering all things, they're third in the East. And it's a very pleasant surprise considering that the Celtics, up until this point, they've been pretty banged up. Gordon Hayward, he's missed a significant amount of time. Remember, he had that hand injury. Also, Robert Williams, he's also missed a significant amount of time. And his concert, he's been banged up as well. So if you're the Celtics, These four games are going to be very important in setting the stone as to what's to come for the second half, the unofficial second half of the regular season coming up. Now, keep in mind that as of tomorrow, they will have 28 games remaining. 28 games remaining in the regular season before the NBA playoffs begin in April. So this stretch of games coming up is going to be absolutely important for the Boston Celtics in terms of their aspirations of making a run to go to the NBA Finals. But the reality is you got two monster opponents ahead of them in the East right now, in Milwaukee, who's got the best record in the NBA at 46-8, and Toronto, who's second in the East, who just had a 15-game winning streak snapped. They're at 40-15 right now. So tomorrow, 4-game road trip, litmus test for the Boston Celtics. I'm excited to see what this team can do come the second half of the season, as well as what anything that they're going to be doing to get themselves in better position for the playoffs. Because right now, if the playoffs started today, their first round opponent would be the Indiana Pacers. That's who they would play. If the NBA playoffs started today, their first round opponent would be the Indiana Pacers. But then what happens after remains to be seen. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up the show. Thank you to all who tuned in today. It's been an absolute blast. I'll be back on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, depending on how you look at it, at from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, as well as you can stream the show live wherever you are on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as WMFO.org. Strike the Box is coming up next for 2 hours with Chris M. Stick around for that. It's been a blast. I'll talk to all of you on Saturday. Hopefully the Bruins would have already made a move, and hopefully some good news will come from the Celtics as well. Plus, maybe an update on the Tom Brady watch. So stick around. This is Shukri Wright. This has been the Shukri Wright Show. Strike the Box is next. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Street Farm Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll talk to you guys on Saturday.